There's a ton of football inside of baseball clubhouses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fantasy football is huge. You
I mean,
know?
Yeah, I mean, someone got slapped for it earlier this year, right?
Yeah, that's right. Who took the slapping? It's a name. It's a guy we know.
It was Jock Peterson.
Yes.
Jock Peterson got slapped for fantasy football.
That's right.
Wait, who slapped him?
It was
Tommy Pham?
No.
Fham.
It was Fham.
What's up, Fham?
Yeah.
That's right.
PH.
He's out here slapping people.
He's a free agent, by the way. Maybe a White Sox target?
Sounds about right, doesn't
sure.
it?
Sure.
That sounds about
Why
right.
Why not?
Yeah.
Just don't let him run the fantasy football pool.
What's going on with the Sox? Anything?
You know what? Look.
I'm kind of lost with everything else right now.
Grody, we bring you in here because you are
good
you are joy in a bottle.
Bears.
And then, of course, like don't take me down White Sox Street today.
I'm sorry.
Mike Rankin and I yesterday were sitting here like talking about the White Sox. And it was like, it just exactly. It just got more and more depressing.
Now, who's the manager they hired? Huh? Who's this guy?
His name is Pedro Grifol.
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of hasn't been able to hire his own staff.
It's unbelievable. Like the whole Grifol, like nobody really knows anything about him. We all know a lot about him because we all do our digging. We interview people, but nobody has any clue whatsoever what Pedro Grifol will be when he's the manager of the White Sox.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with
really? You're accepting that because of what the predecessor was.
You are correct.
Yeah.
It's
a bad place to be as a fan or a broadcaster.
It's a terrible place to be, Groats, where you're kind of like, look, just don't bring back the other guy.
Yeah, it's relative acceptance, relative to the predecessor.
The things that I've heard Grifol say I like, the things that I think, and Mike and I think probably agrees, the stuff that we want the White Sox to be better at, Grifol seems to be someone who is respected in caring about how games are caught, caring about defense, caring about like the attitude of preparation to get you ready for a game. These are all things that have been missing for the White Sox. So anyone that says that to me is going to be like, great, someone who understands what the problem is.
Yeah, the bar is set at you're better than Tony La Russa, and then we'll see.
You're right. And you're right.
The good thing about Grifol is he's going to get that clean objectives. Like nobody really goes into this with, we know what Grifol's going to do in this scenario, you know? So like he is going to get, we're all going to be seeing it in real time, which I do like that part.
No, I dig it, man. Like I'm
sorry about all this.
Yeah, we are too.
sorry about all this.
We are too.
And bringing up the socks. That is,
I was joking. I met with a congregation Beth Shalom on Sunday. They were nice enough to invite me out. We had a good time, and they were asking me a lot of questions about the Cubs, and I was talking about how while all of this has gone on with the White Sox, like the Cubs have been quietly like stockpiling all their stuff and like getting ready, and it's going to be the worst thing for the White Sox as an organization, not White Sox fans. It's going to be the worst thing when the Cubs are like, you know what? We're ready to spend money again.
Yeah.
Here's Carlos Correa for everyone. And like, and the White Sox are going to be like, oh, you guys not talking about us anymore.
That's what Rick Hahn will say. That's what, you know, because he hates the Cubs.
Well, he doesn't.
He just gets the game.
Rick plays the, like, he doesn't.
Did Rick grow up a Sox fan?
He grew up a Cubs fan.
He did.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And he's a huge Bears fan. But he grew up a Cubs fan. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right, so he's winking through all
of
this.
He gets the stay out of White Sox business stuff. But as an organization, like, they're sensitive to that stuff.
I know
Don't
they
tell
are.
People in this town that 2015, 2016 was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Half the town will be pretty upset with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you were celebrating, man.
He's doing, like, a wink at the whole.
Okay, good.
You know what I mean?
Good for him. Good for Rick. Like good for you, Rick.
At least I think he is. Maybe he's fully indoctrinated now, and he's not doing that. But it always felt like he was kind of like, I got to do the thing where I do the thing, and I act like, oh, we hate the Cubs. Like,
don't we have an opening at 1:30? Can we get his Bears pick or his thoughts on, you know, once we get through all of this Justin Fields stuff? You know, maybe just What if we tell him?
I don't think that I'm his favorite person right now. Well,
maybe we can make it. Really?
And to be fair, he's not my favorite
person
either.
Hold on a second. Sucker. You used to have a good. I remember you used to have him on your show. You're like the only one who would have him on. What happened?
I really respect Rick and I really like Rick. But when things don't go right, got as much as I like and respect you, I got to get after you.
Okay, so the critiques have hurt his feelings, is what you're saying. Essentially.
It feels that way to me.
Okay. Because what? You call him and he doesn't call you back, or you see him and
We have made multiple requests throughout the last two seasons to have Rick on, not just on this show, my show, or before. And it was funny, we had this, what I thought was a pleasant, confrontation, not the right word, run-in at the beginning of the season. Layla and I were taking the Batcave down to the first level of the rate. And I had said, I was like, I'm sure we're going to run into Rick at some point. And Rick was like coming up the stairs while we were going down the stairs, and you know, pleasant, professional. No, like we're not gonna fist fight or anything like that, unless he wants to. I mean, I'm ready to throw hands. I'm ready to throw hands for the White Sox. So you know, and you know me,
hey,
Groats.
I'm holding you back, Alfonso Boone.
Hey, you know me, Groats.
I do know you.
I've been waiting for an opportunity.
I know. That's part of why I'm here today. I'm here to
keep the rage monster that lives inside my chest.
Alfonso Boone story is awesome.
I love the Alfonso Boone story. Yes,
it's a stupid story, Mike Rankin.
Basically, Lawrence got punched by you got punched by Alfonso Boone, right?
No, that's not what happened at all. I think Alfonso Boone was like, "Who's that crazy person who wants to fight
He's
me?
Calling me out? Like, why? What did I say?"
He's like this big. What
he's
is
on
he
the
doing?
Tape for next year.
Basically, Alfonso Boone, wasn't Alfonso Boone like 6'7"? Wasn't he
in 325 pounds? Yeah. I was a yapping chihuahua, but I will fight you.
I love it. Going into the Bears locker room looking for a fight.
Yeah.
I love you, Lord. I do. That's so great.
Shout out to John Gilmore for picking me up and taking me out.
You go over here.
Small person, come here. We're going to walk you over here so that you aren't acting like a crazy person.
Did Bears PR at that point know anything that was going on in that scenario?
We had a conversation about it afterwards.
Okay.
So, you know, it was and things with me and Boone were good after
good.
That.
Oh, that's awesome.
Every now and again, you got to bow your neck and you got to be willing to take an ass whooping.
And now this long distance dedication to Alfonso Boone.
Shout out to Alfonso Boone.
Alfonso Boone, where are you? What number was Alfonso Boone?
90?
Yeah, that feels right. That does feel right.
And then Ian
Spellman was a 92. Alonzo Spellman, wasn't he a 90?
God, what was Ian's last name?
Oh, Ian, the guy from Florida, right?
Yeah, he was 95.
Ian, my brain won't stop
Tommy
going to
Harris
Hap.
And
Ian,
it's
Ian,
not Ian Hap.
It's not Ian Hap, but that's the only
Tank
place my brain.
Johnson, 99.
Because I love the Ian because he was like a fifth round pick, and
it wasn't Ian Page.
No, we should know this. Ian
Scott.
Thank you, Ian Scott. Yep, big grindy defensive lineman.
Just go in there and do the job.
Yep. Weren't he and Boone drafted in the same round?
I think so. Fourth round.
I feel like they both came in together, and they were like that, or maybe he was a free agent. I don't remember, but I just remember those two. Well, Ian Scott in particular, I think I just thought he was going to be good because he went to Florida. I think that's what I thought.
Texer says, thanks, Mark. Your stupid question about the Sox is that your co-host threatening Rick Hahn. I ain't threatening him.
No, nobody. Rick Hahn.
I just said if he wants to scrap, if that's how we can fix things,
right,
then we can do that.
Get it over with.
That's all I'm saying.
And then we're friends the next day.
That's exactly how it works. That's how me and Kenny like interact with each other.
Oh,
we
yeah?
We don't fight each other, but we have been known to throw a 4 or 12-letter word at the other person.
I saw
repeatedly.
That's amazing.
And then everything's cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good relationship. Seriously.
I love Kenny. I love and you know why? I figured it out. We're very similar.
Okay.
And that's why occasionally we will butt heads.
Uh huh.
And then we're like, oh, you said what you needed to say?
Yeah.
Cool. I said what I needed to say too. We
plug
cool?
It out. Yeah.
We go.
Who can relate? I mean, you guys can relate to each other.
That's
I saw Kenny Williams at D4 in my neighborhood. That was several years ago, and he was very. He sees me, and he's with his lovely lady, and he looks at me. And he goes, "Oh, hey, Mike, how are you?"
My guy, Mike.
week. I didn't even correct. I was good, Kenny. Gotta see it.
I'm doing great.
I've always kind of wanted to be a Mike anyway. What? You know?
Why not?
Mike's a terrific name.